and 3 for the Marion Tiger Thundercats. All kinds of movement in the backfield here as they'll set it up. Milkey is the now. Fakes a handoff. Milkey coming up the middle is going to power his way ahead. He'll be just shy of the 30-yard line to the 29-yard line. They take another timeout with 1.3 seconds remaining.
Timeout, Thundercats.
So, Milkey's rush is to the 29-yard line. That gives him 11 more yards. So, what should be the final play of the half here, they will dial things up.
Brings up a Thundercats first down.
As Milkey, let's see, he is the quarterback again. They're going to hand it off. Coming around the near corner, Caleb Stern on the carry, trying to get it. He's into the open field. Watch out. Oh, tripped
Caleb
up.
Stern on
Caleb Stern out to about midfield on what should be the final play of the first half. It'll go for 21 yards. Cardinals giving up a ton of off yards on the ground here. We have a flag down and a pretty sizable strike of lightning here. And we'll see what they opt to do here. But the Cardinals, if you decline the penalty, it gets out to midfield and the half comes to an end. It's a holding call against the Thundercats. Yep, they're going to decline it. And that means we're at the half.
Bring
us to half. So we'll see what they do here. Look for some sort of, I'll tell you what, let's take a commercial break. We'll see if we can clarify if we're headed to a weather delay or not. And we'll see what we got going. We'll take a 90-second break and come back and give you an update here. Back here in 90 seconds on 98.9 WXCO.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's commercial printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services, whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic design, or mailing. They print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small, so give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
I'm Chad Holmes, joining myself and former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we will review and preview the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. Each week, we will talk to an area head football coach about their team and also bring on a student athlete to talk about their athletics and off the field as well. The Big High School Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And don't forget, you can catch a podcast of every week's show at WXCO.fm. Also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back here at Marion Tigerton, where they are once again sending the Cardinals to their bus and the Thundercats to under the bleachers on the far side. So that means we are in another at least 30-minute lightning delay as we are at the half here in what's been a wild 36-32 game here back and forth. These two teams, 9 straight possessions with touchdowns before the end. And this has been entertaining here so far, and couple of big stops by both these teams. It was kind of like, if you don't score, you might not have much of a chance. So we'll see. So anyway, so we, again, they have put some time up on the clock, are going to go into a weather delay. And out on the other side here as well. So as we go. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to keep going with our halftime here a little bit. I've got some stats to get through together of the likelihood or whatever. We'll get to those in just a little bit, but we'll take a break coming up. And then on the other side of that, Chad Holmes from the big high school sports show on Wednesday, interview with a guest. We'll bring that to you. And then we should have a better idea of where we're at after that, and then can give you a recap as well. So we are at the half in a weather delay, 36-32. So for Ian back at the station, we'll take a 90-minute break, a 90-second break here, and then come back with Chad's big high school sports interview to get us through our halftime here a bit while we wait for more word on this weather delay here. So Newman trailing Marion Tigerton at the half, 36-32. We'll take a 90-second break and then come back and hear from one of our coaches or athletes from the big high school sports show. That is coming up here on 98.9 WXCO.
Thanks to Wisconsin Valley Flag Football for their support of football broadcasts on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a league for 3rd through 6th graders in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a fast-paced 5-on-5 league with small teams, so everyone is in on the action. For more information on Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, go to their Facebook page or their website at wivalleyflagfb.com. That's wivalleyflagfb.com.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
It's Newman Catholic High School football on 98.9 WXCO. It is halftime of the Cardinals' Week 5 game at Marion Tigerton. We'll get you back to Tom Weaver for the halftime report and the kickoff for the second half in just a few minutes. But here during our halftime break, we will go back a couple of days to a Wednesday, as every Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m., it's the Big High School Sports Show here on 98.9 WXCO. And this past week, one of our guests was from Merrill High School, the head football coach at Merrill, Jason Wadzinski. And here's a part of our conversation with the Merrill football coach. Let's step back and talk about the program, something we talked about last year, because it has been a process. And it seems as though with this program, for you and the folks that work with you at Merrill High School, there have been always strides forward. They may not have always been the biggest strides forward, but there always seems like there's been strides forward. Is that the way you feel continuing into 2025, that this program is continuing to take the strides forward to move from where you were, where it was a struggle, to a playoff squad, to competing in the Great Northern Conference? Do you think that those strides are continuing this year?
I do. And I think first and foremost, it starts with numbers. You know, it's hard to play high school football without numbers, especially when your senior classes are the leaders. If you can hover around that 15 senior mark in our conference, in our division, I think that's a good number to strive for. If you can hit 20, that's great. But you look around the conference, and there's a lot of teams that are having difficulties getting guys out. We've been fortunate enough that I think as a staff, I think our assistant coaches do a great job of keeping kids out and keeping kids enjoying the game so that the numbers stay up and we maybe pull a few more in every year. It really starts with numbers. And then once you have those numbers, it starts with the work ethic in the off season. I'll say of the kind of 70 guys that we were tracking in grades 10 through 12, not all of those guys ended up coming out, but we start with a baseline number in the spring of guys that either have come out or were kind of targeting and they were hoping that they'll join us. They maybe talked about it or had interest in joining. Of those 70, we've had about half, so about 35 that hit at least 50% weight room attendance every day, and that's huge. So getting guys out and then building that camaraderie in the weight room in the off season, having them work together, you know, that's what sets programs to the next level and continues that growth and that success.
What about even at the lower levels? Do you sense more excitement for younger kids to be involved, to start that process towards getting on the field at Jay Stadium as a high school player?
I do. And we made some changes this year with our Parks and Rec program in Merrill, and we've moved the site. So the flag football games even are now played at the Merrill High School at the Jay Stadium. We divided up the field into chunks so that we can play games there so that they get a feel for it. And it's just all those little things that you can do as a program in the community to try to build the excitement for the game and the love for the game to keep these kids coming out and wanting more.
Let's talk about some of the guys on your squad. And you said it, a lot of new names this year, and providing production and filling up those stat sheets. All right, let's start on the offensive side here. You have a quarterback, Cole Rudy. Is that pronounced?
Rudy.
Yeah. I wanted to make sure I got that right. Because he's done it both with the arms and with arm and the leg so far. Tell us a little bit about him.
Cole Rudy he's a very talented young man. And as a junior, I think there are times when he overthinks things and we have to kind of get him grounded. But man, he's turning into something special. And he makes the right choices. He makes the right reads. And he just plays hard. He plays fast. He's a coachable kid. I had the pleasure of not only coaching him, but teaching him when he was in middle school as an eighth grader. So I got to know him a little bit then. And I'm just really proud of him in the maturing and the young man he's becoming. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun couple of years.
Do you see that in eighth grade? Because, you know, when you see kids at that level, do you have a sense that there's a kid that has really good potential? I think I can see him becoming a player. And how often, and I actually asked this of another coach recently, how often is there a kid in the middle schools that just comes out of nowhere? Because kids develop at different rates and in different ways. But I guess starting with Cole, your thoughts as him as an eighth grader, and then generally, when you see eighth graders, how many times are you surprised?
Well, I feel like in terms of athletic ability, I'm surprised more often than I'm not, because what I see more than usual is if we have an athlete that's an absolute stud in seventh and eighth grade, it usually means that they matured faster and just physically they're more dominant, because it's such a fluctuation in middle school. Mm-hmm. You know, you have such a discrepancy between some athletes and how fast they've grown and their maturity level. So sometimes what I'll see is those guys that are absolute animals in middle school, if they don't develop that same work ethic, then they sometimes struggle in the high school level because they're not used to having to work so hard for it. You know, they didn't develop some of the skills and some of the work ethic that they needed to, because they just were gifted and they could do it at that level. Mm-hmm. So when you talk middle school, how do I, if I'm able to identify anybody that could become a player, a lot of times it's more so the kid's personality. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell which kids, other students around them, his peers, that they gravitate towards. Those are leaders. And then when they're interested in sports and they have that athletic ability, that stuff comes at different rates. But that need to pull in your peers and follow, you can tell which kids follow others.
A junior quarterback, I imagine when you see these sparks early on, mm-hmm. is exciting. Because as a quarterback, you do sometimes have to learn the hard way, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what? He's a kid that is a tremendous athlete, and I know he's chomping at the bit and wants to play more on the defensive side of the ball. He started the season playing two ways for a while, and then We realized that especially his junior year, having the ability to have those conversations when the defense is out on the field, it's kind of crucial and imperative for his development. So he'll get there. But
and you got another junior as a running back in Kanan Yankee, leading running back. I mean, again, to have your leading passer, your quarterback, who's your second leading rusher, and then your leading ball carrier, also a junior. Talk a little bit about
also
him.
Also a junior, yeah. Yankee's got great vision. So in our zone blocking scheme, you need a guy that is patient. You know, this isn't power football anymore. It's not line up and run blast behind a fullback or pull a guard and run through a hole. It's, you know, we're taking our zone steps. We might bring a split over and kick out the end. But what needs to happen then is that back he needs to be patient. He needs to take his proper footwork and his proper aiming point. And then when that hole develops, that's when he pops and gets through it. And Yankee does a phenomenal job of that. He has some good finesse. He's a hard kid to hit square. Like he never takes like the big hit, the big shot, because he's so slippery. It's hard to get a good pop on him.
A kid that you do have back from a year ago is out on the wide receiver side, and I was watching the highlights of your game against Crandon. I think it was on Channel 12 that night. And there was a catch that Allen made that was pretty amazing. And he's a big play kid, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. I think the one you're probably talking about is the late in the game. It was a third and long. We're backed up pretty good inside our own 20. And Cole hit him on a post, just a laser. And it was, a one-handed grab.
Yep.
And he ended up going all the way for, you know, 80-plus. And that's what he does. You know, he's a big play kid. The goal is always to move him around, motion him, line him up at X and Z out wide, put him at tight end, put him at H, which is basically our wing back. Just try to get him in space. And, you know, sometimes it's a matter of what can we do to get Keelan Allen the ball, because he does great things with it once he has it.
Those are guys that fill the stat sheet, and I sometimes feel bad because I do a game and I have my big stat sheet, and I don't have a stat sheet for the linemen.
Absolutely.
But that's not right. Well, you don't have the big numbers for these other guys without your linemen.
Not at all.
What about your line? Who jumps out up front?
Our line is just it's solid. It's developed so nicely over the last couple of years. So guys that we have coming back, Mason Block, a two-way guy, offense and defense, and you got Josh Gustum. I'm 6'8", 300 pounds. I mean, he's just an animal. He's a road grader. We can run to his side when we know we need some yards. And then you have, you know, other guys that have stepped up and started for their first time. You got Jace Steinigle at center, and he's done a phenomenal job. I mean, when we initially switched to that pistol offense, I mean, there was a learning curve, and it's, you know, we hear all the time, like, coach, get under center, you know, we only need a yard, stuff like that. And like, I get it, but I think what sometimes we struggle as the fans on the outside seeing is, if we're going to rep under center, that's minutes during practice. It's a lot of time that we have to put in. So we have things that we do in short yardage out of pistol still, and I'm kind of going around here on that, but the reason I ended up down that track is because Jay Steinigle has not had a muff snap. He hasn't had a bad snap, and since Crandon, the last two games, he's been flawless, and I'm just super impressed. Max Kuhn, he's out there now on the left guard side, and he's a senior that stepped in and started for his first time, and he had a little bit of a rocky start too, but I think a lot of the learning curve of the Friday night speed. You know, another junior out there who gets a lot of playing time, Jaden Vandernest. Just it's some good quality guys that work their butt off, and I love shouting out every one of them because, like you said, they don't show up in the stat sheet,
right?
And they don't get the recognition they deserve. You know, you alluded to having the excitement of having a junior quarterback and a junior running back this year, which is great. But we also have four senior linemen, so.
And that's only a small portion of the interview that I had with Jason Wodzinski on Wednesday night's Big High School Sports Show. If you missed that or our interview with our student at the guest, our review and preview of all the football action, you can get it at our website, wxco.fm. Go to shows and then find Big High School Sports Show, or you can subscribe on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We will get you back out to Marion and Tom Weaver for the second half coming up next. It's Newman Catholic and Marion Tigerton fighting Cardinal football on 98.9 WXCO.
Rocket Industrial's mission to package with less is a commitment to making a future that's better for the next generation. Their recommendations help manufacturers across the nation package with less material, less waste, less time, and with less cost. Their engineers and experts provide data-backed solutions that positively impact your bottom line. When you work with Rocket Industrial, you're working with a partner committed to making a difference. Rocket Industrial, package with less. Learn more at rocketindustrial.com.
Witness the difference at Newman Catholic Schools. From 6 weeks old through 12th grade, students are led to build a strong foundation for life. Catholic faith and learning come together in a welcoming community that encourages growth at every stage through a well-rounded curriculum, service opportunities, and a wide range of extracurricular activities. Students are inspired to discover their gifts, strengthen their character, and reach their full potential, with growth happening both within and beyond the classroom. Newman Catholic Schools creates an environment where students can flourish. Choose a school that invests in your child's future. Learn more at newmancatholicschools.com.
Thanks to Wisconsin Valley Flag Football for their support of football broadcasts on Bull Falls Radio 98.9. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a league for 3rd through 6th graders in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Valley Flag Football is a fast-paced 5-on-5 league with small teams, so everyone is in on the action. For more information on Wisconsin Valley Flag Football, go to their Facebook page or their website at wivalleyflagfb.com. That's wivalleyflagfb.com.
And back here in Marion, Tom Weaver on 98.9 WXCO, the Newman Catholic Cardinals trailing Marion Tigerton 36-32 at the half. We are in a weather delay here. A couple flashes just at the end of the third quarter. To be honest with you, I think the referees let a couple go here just to get us to halftime here after we had another delay at the end of the first quarter as well. And if those of you just joining us, especially live on 98.9 WXCO, we had 9 straight possessions with 9 touchdowns between these two teams. And it's Marion Tigerton with a 36-32 lead here at the half. Opening possession, the Thundercats, Braylon Milkey, a 52-yard touchdown run, a 2-play, 68-yard drive that took just 29 seconds. Milkey adding the 2-point conversion. It was 8-0. Thundercats after the first possession. Newman came right back. Quincy Fender, a 15-play, 52-yard drive with a bunch of penalties mixed in there as well. Took 3:58 off the clock. Quincy Fender, a 6-yard touchdown run. It was a Michael Fox adding the 2-point conversion run. We were tied at 8. Marion Tigerton right back. Milkey, a 15-yard touchdown run, capping off a 7-play, 67-yard drive that took 3:11. Extra point kick was no good. 14-8 was the Marion Tigerton lead. Quincy Fender came right back. A 1-yard touchdown run for Newman. They uncorked a long pass play on a little option play that went up the far side yard line. Fender in from 1 yard out, 4:17 to go in the first. 2-point conversion pass, I believe, went to Griffin Pent. And Newman was on top 16-14. 2-play 50-yard drive took just 14 seconds. Didn't take Marion Tigerton long. Anthony Pagan, a 60-yard touchdown run. 2 plays, 60 yards. 4 minutes of the first quarter. 2-point conversion, no good. 20-16. Was the Thundercat lead, but Newman came right back. Quincy Fender, a 20-yard touchdown pass to Griffin Pent, capping off a 5-play, 43-yard drive with 3:02 left on the clock. It was Tristan Fisher adding the 2-point conversion. 24-20 was the Newman lead, and a short time after that, Marion Tigerton ran a play. That was right at the end with about 10 seconds to go in the first quarter. We went to our first weather delay of the night, came back, got things going again. Braylon Milkey at 8:16 in the second quarter, a 20-yard touchdown run, added the 2-point conversion. 8-play, 60-yard drive, took 3:54 off the clock, 28-24, the Marion Tigerton lead. Quincy Fender was dinged up at the end of the drive before that and came out of the game. Michael Fox in at quarterback, and he led the Cardinals right down. A four-yard touchdown pass to Griffin Pent, and the two-point conversion pass to Everett Pent. Six-play, 48-yard drive and 2:51. 5:13 of the second quarter, 32-28. And then the Thundercats came right back again. 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. Milkey, a two-yard touchdown run, seven-play, 50-yard drive that took 2:11 off the clock. 36-32 is the Marion Tigerton lead here at the weather-delayed halftime from Marion. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, give you the individual numbers from the first half as we roll on through this weather delay here from Marion. You're listening to Newman Football on 98.9 WXCO.
For more than 60 years, Sun Printing has been Central Wisconsin's commercial printer of choice due to their commitment to quality, creative solutions, and dedicated service. Sun Printing's team offers you a wide spectrum of services, whether you need vehicle graphics, offset, digital, large format, graphic design, or mailing. They print everything under the sun. No project is too big or too small. So give Sun Printing a call at 845-4911 or visit them online at sunprinting.com.
I'm Chad Holmes. Joining myself and former Wausau West High School head football coach Jason Foster every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Each week, we will review and preview the high school football action around Central Wisconsin, plus special guests. Each week, we will talk to an area head football coach about their team and also bring on a student athlete to talk about their athletics and off the field as well. The Big High School Sports Show, each and every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Central Wisconsin's radio home for high school sports, 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. And don't forget, you can catch a podcast of every week's show at WXCO.fm, also on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here in Marion, Tom Weaver on 98.9 WXCO. We roll on here. Guessing we're about 5 minutes away from perhaps some sort of a status update to see where we're at, but who knows. But as far as individual numbers go in that first half, passing-wise, Shane Blum for the Thundercats, 0-1 with one interception by Tristan Fisher of the Cardinals. That was toward the end of the first half. But big first half on the ground for Braylon Milkey. 16 carries, 197 yards, and four touchdowns.
All right, due to the lightning delay, I am going to be doing the
six carries,
night announcing
77 right yards for Shane Blum. Two carries for 19 yards for Sam Anheuser. And the touchdown run for Pagan from long range from 60 yards out. 366 yards, total yards of offense here for the Thundercats on the ground. For the Newman Catholic Cardinals, Quincy Fender went 5 of 6, 66 yards and a touchdown. And it is Michael Fox, 4 of 5, 74 yards and a touchdown. So they combined for 140 yards of total offense for the Cardinals. Cardinals with 109 yards on the ground. It is Michael Fox, 10 in the carries for 67 yards, 7 carries for Quincy Fender in that first period, in the first half, I should say, as the Cardinals trail it here, 36-32. And when you look at things, and quite a first half receiving-wise for Griffin Pent, as he has six catches for 103 yards to pace the way for the Cardinals here tonight. Cooper Gould, before going down with an injury, with 5 yards on one catch. It is Michael Fox, one catch for 15 yards, and it is Jacob Fox with a catch for 13 yards as well. So 140 through the air, 109 on the ground, 249 total yards of offense for the Cardinals in that first half. We have a couple of scores in. Of course, as we mentioned, Chad Holmes and the West Warriors hold off Wisconsin Rapids 14-12. Marathon 40-0. DC Everest over Marshfield 37-15. Tomahawk remains unbeaten in the Great Northern Conference. They beat Rhinelander 49-7. So those are some of the final scores that we have in. Some of these games in the area have been moved up as well earlier today to just get things back in and get it in before the weather came in. So it is. So in a weather delay here that we are, I don't believe any sign, actually. We'll see here. They set the clock to the first weather delay when it started with 30 minutes. It looks like the Cardinals are making their way off the bus here. But so far the Tiger Cats remain under the bleachers on the far side. And we'll see. No sign here of our officials either. I know it looks like the Marion Tigerton athletic director has been out here with the chain gang and some other folks here. And we will see what they opt to do here. But, you know, again, with the weather delay situation, as soon as they see lightning, it's 30 minutes, and you restart the clock anytime with a new flash of lightning. And you're... had a couple of audible groans from the crowd here toward the end of the quarter with a flash of lightning, and everybody thought it was coming, and it looks like the referees kind of went through and got us to the halftime here to get through, and then went into the weather delay here. But so no sign of the officials coming out yet here, so I do believe they're going to extend this weather delay here beyond the beginning 30 minutes here that they went. So again, 9 straight possessions with touchdowns between these two teams in the first half, and it is Marion Tigerton with a 36-32 lead. So we're going to send things back to the WXCO studios here for a bit. We'll get you updated as soon as we can. Understand, if and when we come back out of the weather delay, we're going to be live on WXCO. We're also going to hop over to the main stream. So any of you listening in on the sports stream number 2, you want to hop over to the live WXCO, the main live stream. And again, WXCO.com, you can pick it up there, or the easiest way on your mobile device with the Civic Media app and select WXCO as your favorite station. And go to the main line there to listen in, because when we come back, right now I believe we're on both of the streams after the early start and the end of the West game, but when we come back and get back to action, we'll be live on the air and then live on the main stream again, so we'll do that. So
by the Sheriff's Department with the less lethal projectile, it exploded embedded in my right thigh. I was clearly identified as Press. ER doctors later found the plastic casing embedded in the wound, which they removed during emergency surgery. Over 2 months later, while I was covering a protest outside the Federal Detention Center here in downtown Los Angeles on August the 8th, my first time out since my injury, LAPD officer struck me across the face with a baton, splitting my chin open.
A democracy depends on an informed public, and you don't have an informed public without a free press. So what I'm concerned about is our democracy itself.
On September the 10th, Judge Hernan Vera issued sweeping preliminary injunctions barring DHS agents and the Los Angeles Police Department from dispersing, threatening, or assaulting journalists. If DHS can violently attack journalists and citizen observers without consequences, none of us are safe anywhere in the country.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So that video from the folks over at the Center for Media and Democracy, it's the shorter version, which we'll get the longer version out on social media, but just as appalling as the full-length one, and it goes to show the lengths at which the Trump administration's willing to go to stop you and me from knowing what they are doing. We've all seen the video of reporters being shot deliberately with quote-unquote non-lethal rounds. How, you may ask? Because there's some people brave enough to stand and report what's going on in our name in this moment. And here to share some thoughts on all of this and what's going on, I've asked Matthew Cunningham Cook to come share some thoughts. He's a reporter over at the Center for Media and Democracy. You can check out their website as exposedbycmd.org. Matthew, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rick. And I just wanted to say, huge longtime fan of the show, and
And yeah, just so impressed with the work that you've been able to accomplish over
the years. I appreciate that. But you know, the reality is that right now, I'm sure you see this as much as anyone, there is an all-out frontal assault on anyone who is telling truths, looking at this administration and what they're doing. And I look at this video you guys just put out that pretty much goes through and shows the recent violence and the assaults on journalists and observers at the anti-ICE protests there in Los Angeles. So the question I have is, what patterns are you seeing as these things are happening? And I guess, who's responsible?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously a long history of this, you know, Trump describing the press as the enemy of the people. But more recently, Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security, has described videotaping ICE agents as violence. And that was the story that we reported out recently. And so I think that this is an extremely kind of dangerous time for the First Amendment in the U.S., where this administration has made very clear that from Jimmy Kimmel on down, that any criticism will attract regulatory scrutiny, will attract kind of aggressive behavior and verbiage from the administration. But when it comes to reporting on protests, you know, in particular protests against ICE, violence. And so, yeah, we've seen a pattern of reporters hit with less lethal munitions. In the video, we interviewed Nick Stern, who said, you know, he's reported from war zones all over the world. And it's Los Angeles under Trump where that has been the most dangerous and kind of the most aggressive response from law enforcement.
Are you surprised by any of this? Because, look, I mean, you know, for all the people who are going to be, Rick, I didn't think it was going to be this bad. I'm going, how could you not? It's all we talked about in 2024. They are doing, and to Trump's credit, I got to be honest, I got to give him credit, they're doing everything that they said they were going to do, everything they laid out in Project 2025. When he goes to his rallies and says he hates protesters and he's ready to go after them, this kind of goes right into this. So, you know, to follow up on your comment about Kristi Noem, you know, are we surprised that anything that they disagree with is somehow violent? Are we surprised that the people who talk about free speech are the ones censoring?
No, I don't think that we should be surprised. I think that, you know, the Republican Party has always had a glass jaw. I think is, you know, there was crackdowns on the press under Bush. There were crackdowns on the press under Reagan. Obviously, there were crackdowns on the press under Nixon. And I think it's kind of really a testament to how much the mainstream kind of corporate media has failed to report on kind of how consistent the Republican Party's attacks on a free press have been, both historically, but then more recently, how kind of Trump represents a qualitative leap forward in the attacks on the First Amendment and the free press. And that's why it's so important that we have outlets like yours, outlets like CMD, that are kind of willing to really kind of dig in and say, this is a qualitative leap forward when it comes to attacks on the free press and attacks on journalists.
But let me ask you this, because, you know, I've gotten a lot of questions from friends, from family, from people who care about me going, you know, seeing what's going on. And I'm sure you're getting this as a reporter as well. Are you concerned that eventually, you know, first they came for Colbert, then they came for Kimmel. They go down the list. Eventually, they're going to come for Matthew Cunningham Cook. Eventually, they're going to come for Rick Smith. Does that concern you?
Well, I will say I travel outside the U.S. relatively frequently. And one of the more recent times that I came back, they asked, CBP asked kind of a series of relatively personal questions. And it was right after I had published a report in Rolling Stone kind of investigating, you know, the top Musk henchmen. And so I think that, yeah, there's very kind of real risks kind of here for reporters. But that's, you know, I think one thing that we should learn from kind of other authoritarian kind of experiments is you can't you can't quit when it's only a little bit bad. that's kind of when it's a little bit bad is when you have to kind of triple down and start kind of raising your voice and kind of being more aggressive with your reporting. And so I think that's what I really hope kind of we have a report coming out shortly about kind of how many mainstream journalists have embedded with ICE to do ride-alongs with ICE. And it's like my fiercest message to reporters and corporate outlets is don't do that at kind of this moment in time. You shouldn't do it at any moment in time, but kind of when with what we're seeing, we really can't kind of give the administration any quarter. We have to maintain our independence. We have to be aggressive in reporting on the administration. Fair, but aggressive.
But understand, if you're embedded with them, they're going to protect you, and they may not shoot you. So to be honest, you know, there's some radical self-interest in there. I'm sure some reporters are going, I'd rather be on the safety side of this than, you know, doing that actual journalism stuff that you do.
I think that's very true. And I think it's also just, you know, people don't want to admit to themselves that this administration is qualitatively different. I think that's very hard from everybody from the New York Times on down to admit that this is not kind of what we've seen in the past. And it requires a really significant recalibration if we're going to kind of report the news the way that it should be reported going forward.
Do you have any faith in the federal judiciary? I know that a federal judge issued a preliminary injunction against DHS and the LAPD to stop assaulting journalists there. Do you think there's going to be any impact from legal action? Or do you think this is just going to have to be, as I do, enough people getting out in the street, enough people with eyes and cameras and everything on this, that you can't silence everyone?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the judge was responding to kind of the public response. But I think that, you know, I think that it has to require kind of more nonviolent kind of observation of what is going on if we're going to kind of be able to have a free press going forward. And yeah, and I think it's again is and most importantly.
Hi, we are back here in Marion. Tom Weaver on 98.9 WXCO. Our weather delay in the rearview mirror again. 36-32 is the Marion Tigerton lead, and they will kick off here as we get set for half number two. And boy, you're trying to battle through this one, and this is a big game in the standings for these two teams here. Is Marion Tigerton beating Almond Bancroft earlier in the year, and Almond Bancroft beating the Cardinals. So, trying to keep pace here. All right, so for the Cardinals, Fox and Fisher, I believe, are the two deep men. And they will get set here to take the kick from Logan Zietlow. Zietlow coming, 36-32 the lead, end-over-end kick, bouncing on the far side. Here's Fisher from the 20. 25-30, up, out, around to the far side, sheds a tackler, still on his feet, up the far sideline, dancing back to the middle, leaning forward. He's going to be just shy of the 45-yard line. As Tristan Fisher with a nice job on the return for the Cardinals. And Newman will go to work here in the second half. And the Cardinals will have first and 10 here from their own 43-yard line.
Ball on the 43-yard line.
And a fireworks-filled first half on the offensive end of things. And if you're just joining us, Cardinal quarterback Quincy Fender knocked out. Michael Fox led the team to a score and is keeping him in this one. He will get the handoff up the middle, Tristan Fisher. Churning his legs out across the 45, maybe gets the 46-yard line with some forward progress. So Fisher with a gain of 3. Tell you what, Michael Fox in relief did a nice job. Went 4 of 5 passing for 74 yards and a touchdown. Quincy Fender, 2 touchdowns on the ground. and one through the air. So second down, 7 yards to go now here for the Cardinals with the football at their own 46-yard line.
Ball on the
46-yard line of the Cardinals. On second down and 7 from the shotgun. Showing some pressure. They will hand off, trying to get outside. Eli Fite on the carry around the left side. He's going to power his way ahead, gets up to midfield and pushes the pile forward. Looks like into Marion Tigerton territory to their 49-yard line. 5-yard gain. Eli Fite on the carry to the 49-yard line. Is going to bring up a third down and about 3. Had a tough time keeping the lid on Marion Tigerton defensively here, so your offense will try to keep things going here. Third down, 3 yards to go here for the Cardinals. Double wide receiver to the right for the quarterback, Michael Fox. Looks over to the sideline now, ready to go. Fisher to his left. Here's Michael Fox on third down and 3. Fisher up the middle, sneaks through, penalty marker flies. And let's see, Fisher gets a gain of 2 on the play, but I think a penalty marker in from the far sideline. And let's see, a Cardinal is slow to get up once again. My goodness. Health-wise, has not been a good night for the Cardinals here. So let's see, they're just shy of the first down. It's an illegal formation call in the Cardinals here. So they will take the 5-yard penalty, it looks, to back him up, but they're tending to one of the Cardinals who is down in the inside here. And let's see, training staff out trying to get back to his feet. And we'll see. You've already lost your wide receiver and your quarterback here. And you get down. Number. And let's see. It looked like he was about to get up and then went back down here before getting up. We shall see. And gingerly getting up here. And let's see. It is Carter Shawanka. So that's your center, or your fill-in center, I should say. So that is the third starter to go down here for the Cardinals here tonight. So we'll see what they come up with. So third down for the Cardinals after the penalty, which brings the football back to the 47, 46-yard line via the penalty. So Newman now ready to break the huddle here as we're set to go here. So you got a new center in there now. We'll see if we can, as they come. All right. Looks like it might be Nathaniel Tau who is in there at center now. We'll see. But more importantly, a third down and 7 here for the Cardinals, under 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. High snap, Fox with it, down, throws up. It is tipped and falls incomplete, almost intercepted. Falls to the ground, however, and this is going to bring up fourth down. So, fourth down. Well, I know another game that folks had an eye on tonight. Amherst beats Loyal Greenwood 34-12. So, Tristan Fisher steps back to punt here. Pressure up the middle. This is a line drive kick that bounces up the far sideline. Takes a good Newman bounce. And this will down inside the 20-yard line. So Newman punts for the second time here tonight. Marion Tigerton with 9:45 to go. We'll have the football and the lead, 36-32, with the football at their own 18-yard line. So Marion Tigerton, big first half for Braylon Milkey. 16 carries, 197 yards, and 4 touchdowns. And he lines up here behind Blum, the quarterback. Milkey gets the handoff straight up the middle, looks to dance outside, caught from behind. Able to get forward for a couple of yards. Newman, good job in the containment there. Milkey ahead for 3, maybe 4 yards. So 200 yards now for Milkey on 17 carries. He'll line up in the tail once again on 2nd down and 7. They will pitch him, trying to come outside. Cuts up to the middle, hits the hole. Cardinals hammer him ahead at the 25-yard line. This will bring up a 3rd down. So short gain of 2 yards on the play. Good defensive containment there by the Cardinals.
Brings up 3rd and 4.
3rd down and 4 yards to go. Love to try to get a stop here. Marion Tigerton with an interception in the first half, but did not punt the football. Milkey straight ahead, stood up, bottled up. He's trying to power forward and get it. Leans forward. He's going to be short. I think he'll be short. We'll see. Tough to tell from here. Boy, the Cardinals had him bottled up, but he kept going. And they're going to say a 1st down. Oh, boy. 2nd effort, and Milkey just kept those powerful legs churning and gets the 1st down. It's out to, looks to be the 29-yard line. Needed 3.5, got 4. So impressive running there by Braylon Milkey. Cardinals stood him up, but he got spun around it, but just able to keep those legs going. 1st and 10, Marion Tigerton on the move once again. Blum looks to pitch. Now counterplay around to the far side goes and hammered down to the 20-yard line. This is Anthony Pagan with the carry. He's ahead to the 20-yard line.
Anthony Pagan on the
carry. The 30-yard line. He'll get a gain of 1, and boy, tell you what, he paid the price for that. He took a licking as he cut back to the outside.
Brings up 2nd and 8.
2nd down and 8. 7:27 to go, 3rd quarter. Marion Tigerton with the football facing 2nd down and 8 with a 4-point lead. Now Stern will get the carry. Drop the football, has to get down and cover it. Caleb Stern out of the handoff. Kind of tried a little jet sweep type of play there. And this will go back to about the 28-yard line. It'll go as a loss of 2. And a 3rd down and 11 for the Cardinals. 3rd down and 11, 6:50 to go here in the 3rd quarter. Marion Tigerton yet to complete a pass here tonight. 1 pass attempt intercepted by Tristan Fisher. Anheuser now in. Now they'll go ahead and all kinds of room. Watch out here. It's Milkey and he is gone. Straight up the middle. He is gone. Touchdown, Marion Tigerton, as Braylon Milkey, his 5th touchdown of the night.
Touchdown!
Goes 72 yards to the house.
72 yards.
And Marion Tigerton extends their lead here with 6:26 to go. My goodness. that is a handful. All right, now they'll line up here, and they're going to kick the extra point, I believe. Yep. So they will, as it's Zietlow in. His kick is blocked. So 6:26 to go, 42-32. Is the Marion Tigerton lead. Back with the kick in a minute on 98.9 WXCO.
Are you passionate about local high school sports? So are we. WXCO 98.9 FM is proud to be the only station in Wausau bringing you live, play-by-play coverage of high school sports, game after game, season after season. But we can't do it alone. We are currently seeking local sponsors and community partners who believe in the power of sports to bring people together, inspire youth, and energize our hometown pride. Promote your business, support our local athletes, be heard by thousands of loyal local listeners. If your business is interested in supporting live sports broadcasts while gaining valuable exposure, now is the perfect time to become a WXCO sports sponsor. Message us on our Facebook page or call or text our sales rep, Aaliyah, at 608-573-1597. That's 608-573-1597. Let's keep Wausau High School sports on the air together.
Big night here for Braylon Milkey of the Thundercats as he zeroes in on 300 yards and his fifth touchdown of the night. 42-32 is the Marion Tigerton lead. On the fly from the 25-30, this is Michael Fox trying to cut outside, take it back. It's Tristan Fisher back up the near sideline into midfield, puts the brakes on again, squirts up to the middle, 45, lost the football, but able to get down and cover it up. So Tristan Fisher on the return. For the Cardinals, gets it into Marion Tigerton territory.
First and 10 for the Cardinals.
So the Cardinals, with 6:04 to go in the third quarter, will have the football at the Marion Tigerton 43-yard line. And Michael Fox back to work again. Coaches, okay. So we are going to running time, we hear, with a 10-point lead. And that apparently was discussed at halftime by both coaches and agreed to. So, all right, Cardinals now. Here we go. First down and 10. And now snap is down. Penalty markers fly. Fox gets rid of it. Up the near sideline, incomplete.
Pass incomplete. There's a penalty.
And we'll see what the flag is. So I guess the question is, if it gets back under 10, do you go back to the regular time? But 9 points is the threshold that they'll work from. In an effort to get us all home at a reasonable hour, I guess is the only thing we can say. So penalty marker flies, and they're talking to the Thundercats here. Clock has stopped here. Actually, is running. I take that back. So 10-point lead. We'll get it figured out. Another formation penalty against the Cardinals. So they'll walk it off here. Via the Cardinals. So the football back to the 48-yard line. And here's a high snap. Fox pulls it down, throws, loops it up, far sideline, caught up the far sideline, knocked out of bounds. And I'm trying to see. Everett Pent, I believe, on the catch. I believe it's number 8, right? Yep, so Pent.
Everett Pent on the reception.
That goes ahead to the 39-yard line. So 9 yards on the completion there, Pent.
Brings up second.
His first catch of the night. Second down, 6 yards to go. 3:47 and counting. Here is the Cardinals. All right, Fox sends Everett Pent wide to the right. And here is fumbling the snap and able to get down and cover it up is Fox, the quarterback. Right back at their injury here against the Cardinals. So Fox able to get back down, and this might be a cramp here as they're looking to stretch out whoever's on the ground.
Timeout on the field.
It's kind of one of those sneaky humid nights here for these guys, I would have to think. And then when you combine all the starts and stops and whatever else, we'll see. So it's going to bring up a third down here for the Cardinals. If you look at the schedule coming in, again, scheduled to play Menominee Indian next week. Stay tuned for that. And then after that, home game against Port Edwards on the 3rd, and then at Tri-County on the 10th. So we shall see what transpires here. All right. So it's the backup center, Nathaniel Tao. And we'll go here. So 41-yard line is where they'll spot it after Fox got down and covered it up. So a loss of 2 on the play. Going to set up a 3rd down here. For the Cardinals, 3rd and 7, just under 3 minutes to go. All right, 3rd and 7 from the shotgun.